Okay, so we are holding on Sadik Gimel Amud Bey's three lines from the bottom. The last thing we were talking about in the Gemara was the question if something changes about a chotzer during the morning, Ellie. If something changes about a chotzer during Shabbos, the case we had was in our Mishnah, we mentioned a case where you have a large chotzer next to a small chotzer, large, again, being defined as it sticks out on both sides of the small one, so it's shaped like a T, and nifritza, it was broken between them. So we said the large one is mutter to carry, the small one is not. So we were discussing the question, does that mean that it was broken open before Shabbos, or that it was broken on Shabbos? So the last thing the Gemara had said was that according to Rabba, at least according to what Rabba had asked Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Yehuda, where they answered Shabbos kiven shahutra hutra, that once it's mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains mutter for the whole Shabbos, then we have to say that it's talking about where it was broken. You have to say that it was broken before Shabbos, because if it was broken on Shabbos, then it wouldn't change the status. They'd still be allowed to carry, each in their respective chatzah. So now we're going to have more discussion about that, and the next Mishnah also is going to deal with that matter. Mishnah says, and the Gemara says, three lines from the bottom of Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, Itmar, Kosel Shebin Shtei Chatzeres, if there is like that, a wall between two Chatzeres, Shenofal, and it fell down on Shabbos. Rav Amar Ein Metaltlin by Ela B'Dalad Amos, Rav says that now you're only going to be able to carry four Amos in any one Chatzer. In other words, Rav disagrees with what we just said, that Shabbos Kiven Shehutra Hutra. So therefore, in effect, you have one big chotzer over here where they didn't all make an Eruv together. You had half of them made an Eruv and half of them made a different Eruv, and that's no good. In fact, Rashi says it's even worse than one chotzer. At least when there was one chotzer and they didn't make an Eruv, we learned before Rav would say that if you didn't make an Eruv, you are allowed to carry, according to Reb Shimon, you are allowed to carry things all around the chotzer. Actually, according to everybody, we said you are allowed to carry things all around the chotzer, you're just not allowed to carry them back and forth into the house, in or out of the houses, or into another chotzer. But we learned a few days ago that Rav had said that if the one chotzer did make their own Eruv, and now, then he said you can't carry things between it and the next chotzer, even though kol chatzer was rishus achas, as we learned at the beginning of the perek, because then you may confuse them with kalim that were carried that were carried out of the houses, that were in the houses at the beginning of Shabbos. So here, each one made their own Eruv, and therefore he says, now that the wall between them fell down, now there are two Chatzeres, that's one completely open to the other one, and now therefore you can't carry in either one more than four Amos. In effect, both of them have become a Karmelis. Although according to Tosfos, we don't have to say that Rav is talking about that, but he's saying that even the things that were in the chotzer at the beginning of Shabbos, we can't carry them around the chotzer. Rav might agree you could do that. He's just talking about that you can't carry things from the house into that when you have things that were in the house at the beginning of Shabbos, and then earlier on Shabbos, before the wall fell down, they were brought out to the chotzer. Now you can't carry them more than four amos in the chotzer. Maybe if you had something that was in the chotzer at the beginning of Shabbos, Rav would say it's fine to carry it all around the chotzer. Anyway, the question is, yeah.
Why do you say it's a karmelis?
Well, not really a karmelis. The point is, in other words, that it's, you can't carry in it more than four amos. In effect, it's like a karmelis. You're right. It's not literally a karmelis, but it's a chotzer shel rabim, which doesn't have a proper eruv in it.
Is the difference between the karmelis and the chotzer shel rabim would be that in one the karmelis you can or you cannot carry four amos?
You can't carry four amos in karmelis either. So when we say that you can't carry in it four amos, in effect it becomes like a karmelis. It may not be technically the definition lahalacha of a karmelis, but we'll learn about that in the next mission actually. But practically speaking, that's what it becomes. Anyway, the point is that Rav does not hold of the concept of Shabbos kiven shahutra hutra. We don't say because it was mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, because the war was there, therefore it should remain mutter for all of that Shabbos. Rav doesn't hold of that, as we're going to see further along, there's actually a machlokas tanoim about that in the Mishnah at the bottom of Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay. Shmuel says that no, for the rest of that Shabbos, people can carry until the base of that wall, where the wall was, from either side. So the people in the one chatzer can carry all the way to where the wall was. They can't carry across it, of course, fine, because the two chatzeres didn't make a joint eruv. But they can carry all the way to the wall. Because Shmuel again holds that the halacha, when we say that the halacha is like Reb Shimon, we said a few days ago that Shmuel says even if each one made their own eruv, he's not concerned about the fact that in the chotzer you have kelim that were in the house versus kelim that were in the chotzer, and you may confuse one with the other. So in this particular case, since it was mutter at the beginning of Shabbos in each chotzer, because they did make an eruv for them to carry from their houses to the chotzer, so even now that the wall is down, they can still carry things from their houses to the chotzer and back, because Shabbos came in Shehotra Hotra. The Gemara points out, V'hoda Rav lav v'feirosh itmar, this that we're saying, that Rav said that you can only carry four amos, Rav didn't actually say that explicitly. Elami klala itmar. We can deduce it from something else that Rav did, or something else that Rav said. What was the story? Did Rav and Shmuel have a yasvi ba'hu chotzer? One time, Rav and Shmuel were sitting in a certain chotzer on Shabbos. Nafa guda de beni beni. The wall between the chotzeres fell down. So now you have the exact scenario where you have the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Amalahu Shmuel. So Shmuel told the people, shkulu gima glima. Take a talis negiduba and spread it out where the wall was. Now, so you have two issues over there. Number one, you're carrying the talis, and number two, you're making a mechitza which, especially if you're making a mechitza that would make it mutter to carry again, then you can't do that on Shabbos. So in other words, Shmuel held you're allowed to do that. Adrinu Rav la'ape. Rav turned his face away to show like he disapproves. Why? So therefore, we can see from the fact that Rav disapproved that he would hold that you can't carry in this chotzer. Or that if you do put up a mechitza over there, then what you're accomplishing with that is you're making a mechitza which is going to make it mutter again to carry, and you can't make such a mechitza on Shabbos. Amalahu Shmuel, so Shmuel told the people as a little bit of a joke, E kofid Abba, if Abba is makbid, if he doesn't like this, we learned before that either Abba is Rav's real name, and therefore Shmuel as his chaver is calling him that, or just the opposite, that he's calling him Abba as a title of respect. Whatever it is, Shmuel is saying, if Rav is machbid, shkulu hem yonev tarube, take his belt and tie the talus in place with it. In other words, it's like a jokey way of saying, whether Rav likes it or not, we're going to do it. He may even end up helping out with it by contributing his belt towards the cause. But we see, therefore, that Rav disapproved. So the question is, will a Shmuel lomaliha? Okay, if Shmuel is saying that you're allowed to bring the talus in the first place, meaning that you can carry it four amos, then what do you need to put up the talus anyway? Ha'omer zemetat lad ikum mechitza v'zemetat lad ikum mechitza. He just said that you could carry until where the wall was. So what do we need to put up a new mechitza for? The answer is Shmuel avad l'tzniyos ba'alma. The answer is you're right. Shmuel wasn't saying you have to put it up, because without putting up that talus, you're not going to be able to carry. He just wanted the talus to be up there for tzniyos. Like this, you know, all this time, the one chotzer had a wall between them and the other chotzer, and they were able to do things in private. Now all of a sudden they can't. So he wanted to put up a talus just for purposes of tznius, but not because it actually makes a difference lahalacha. Lahalacha, according to him, again, Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra, once it was mutter because it had the wall at the beginning of Shabbos, then it remains mutter for the rest of Shabbos. Okay, so the question is, what about Rav's opinion? V'Rav is virulei de also leimalei. If Rav held that it's actually also to do that, then why isn't he speaking up? Why is he just turning his face away? The answer is asrei de Shmuel haba. The answer is this was Shmuel's place. This took place in Nahauda, where Shmuel was the Rav and the Rosh Hashiva, and therefore Rav is not going to interfere with. If Shmuel holds this way, then okay, you know, he's entitled. He may be entitled to hold this way, but I'm not going to approve of it. There is, by the way. I mean, if we were talking about a din d'oraisa, then we wouldn't say that. Then we wouldn't say we defer to the local rav. Also, if it was something, if it was what's called toya b'dvar mishnah, if, for example, it was something that it said explicitly in a mishnah, or in modern terms, let's say if it's something that it says explicitly in Shulchan Aruch that it's also to do, then you don't say that. You defer to the rav and let him pass skin as he wants. But here where it's not something that it says explicitly in a Mishnah or something, and something that depends on Shikul Hadas, it's something that depends on, you can see the logic one way or the other, whether you say Shabbos Kim and Jehotra Hotra. So Rav may not approve of it, but he's not going to go and protest against it. So the question is, if it's Shmuel's place, my time Adrin Olape, then why does Rav have to turn away his face b'chlal? Let him just stay looking over there, and okay, people will know he's not protesting because it's Shmuel's city and Shmuel has the right to baskin over there. The answer is because Rav, on the other hand, didn't want that people are going to think that he actually agrees with Shmuel and that he changed his mind. The Vahodabe Mishmaite is in parenthesis, by the way, because Marshal takes it out. He says, look, we didn't say before that Rav ever said this explicitly anyway, so what kind of Shmuel, what kind of statement of Rav is there for him to retract from? We're only deducing what Rav holds from this very story. But the point is, in other words, Rav didn't want people to mistakenly think that he holds like Shmuel. So therefore, he turned his face away as an expression, as a gesture of that I don't agree with this, but he didn't actually say so because he didn't want to go openly against Shmuel where it's Shmuel's city and he has the right to paskin according to his shita. The halacha in the end is like Shmuel. We do say Shabbos Kim and Shehotra Hotra. First of all, we had a couple of Amiroyim before who said that. We have Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda had said that. And also, maybe because since over here we're saying we don't even see that Rav explicitly held this way, we're just deducing it from the story, then that's not a solid enough reason to go against Shmuel's din. Okay. Mishnah says, Chotzer Shenifritza Lo Shusarabim. If a chotzer was broken open to the Shusarabim, now, it can mean that one side was completely open. It can also mean, Rashi says, that you have a breach wider than 10 amos, which, as we've learned throughout the Masechta, is not considered a doorway anymore. So then, then Rabbi Eliezer says, if you bring anything from the Shusarabim into that chotzer, or vice versa, you would be chayev. Because, for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer considers this chotzer, or part of it at least, as we'll see in the Gemara, he considers it to be Rosh Hasharabim. Now, how does a chotzer all of a sudden become Rosh Hasharabim just because the wall fell down? That we're going to deal with in the Gemara. There's a Tosfos printed on the previous Amud, which goes to our mission over here, Chayav Divir Rabbi Eliezer. And among other things, Tosfos points out the possibility that we might be talking about over here that all the mechitzas fell down. Besides, we're going to take up the possibility in the Gemara that we're talking about one mechitza and parts of the other ones fell down. Oh, good morning, Aaron. But there's also the possibility that that we could be talking about all of them fell down, as we'll see. So Rabbi Eliezer says, therefore, it's considered Rosh Hasharabim, and therefore, it would be like any other Rosh Hasharabim. You bring something from Rosh Hasharabim, from Rosh Hasharabim Yochid into it, or vice versa, you're going to be chayev. The Chum say no. If you take something between it and Rosh Hasharabim or vice versa, Potter, because in effect, this Chotzer is now like a Karmelis. And a Karmelis, as we know, you can't be chayev for carrying something back and forth between it and Rosh Hasharabim or Rosh Hasharabim. Now, it's interesting that Rabbi Eliezer said the word Rosh Hasharabim, Mitoicha Rosh Hasharabim, Rosh Hasharabim, Mitoicha, and the Chumras are mentioning instead Rosh Hasharabim. Now, why is that? So, in fact, there is actually a Girsa, there is one of the Rishonim, the Tosfos Rid, actually changes the Girsa over here, and says that by the Chachamim also it should be Rosh Hasharabim. So then the Chachamim are saying the exact opposite of what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. He's saying that if they carry from Rosh Hasharabim into this Chotzer, they're going to be Chayev, and the Chachamim are saying, no, if you carry from Rosh Hasharabim into it, you're only carrying from Rosh Hasharabim to a Karmelis, and therefore you're Potter. Tosfos on the other, that same Tosfos on the other hand says that we're gonna explain in the Gemara that the Rebbe Eliezer is specifically talking about the place where the mechitza was, that becomes Rishas Rabim. Therefore, he mentions if you carry from Rishas Yachatid, whereas the Chachamim are talking about the rest of the chatzer. Therefore they mention and they're stressing that even if all of the mechitzas fell down, don't think therefore that the whole thing becomes Rishas Rabim. No, the whole thing still remains a Carmelis. It was a Rishas Yochid before. Now, when all the walls fell down, it became, or enough of the walls fell down, now it became a Carmelis. Okay, but you're not chayef carrying from Rishas Yochid into Carmelis. So therefore they mention Rishas Rabim in order to stress that there's nothing left over here that can be considered Rishas Yochid. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. So the Gemara starts off. Rabbi Eliezer, Mishum the Nifritzel of Rishus Rabim, Havyel of Rishus Rabim. What's the logic? Rabbi Eliezer is saying because the Chotzer is completely broken open to Rishus Rabim, therefore all of a sudden it becomes a Rishus Rabim. The answer is Ain. Yes, as a matter of fact, Rabbi Eliezer Latayme, Rabbi Eliezer is going according to his Svara, to Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, in connection with Dinei Mamnes. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Meshum Rabbi Eliezer, Rabim Shaberu Derech La'atzman, if the Rabim pick themselves a path through somebody else's field, Ma Shaberu Beru, what they picked is considered a valid pick, and now they have a path through there, and you're not allowed to fence it in. So we see by the same token, so therefore when people are walking through an area, they make it a Rishas Rabim. The same thing, now that people are walking through this former chatzer, which now has a big breach in its wall, so now it can be considered a Rishas Rabim. So the Gemara says, Eini, still, is that so? Va'amar of Gidol Amar Rav, didn't Rav Gidol say in the name of Rav that rule about Rabim Sheberu Derech Ha'atzman is not an absolute rule? V'hu she'avda lahen derech ba'oser sada, that only works if they had previously lost a path through that field. In other words, at one point they had a path through that field. They lost track over the years where that path was. They know that there was a path through it. They just have forgotten where it was. So now they decided on their own, they decided spontaneously on their own, let's just pick this particular path and start walking on it. So then we say the fact that they originally had a path through that field entitles them to take some path, whether it happens to be the same one or not, and continue using it. But not if they never had one in the first place. They can't just, like we had earlier in the Masechta, we had the expression listim shekamaycha kapshua, that thieves like you have made this path through the field where they were just going through illegally. So the same thing over here then. It should only work if they actually previously had a path through this chatzer. It shouldn't work otherwise. So why is Rabbi Eliezer saying that the chatzer is considered a Rishas Rabim? So you're going to answer, okay, maybe you're actually talking about that they actually had a path through that chatzer. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they actually had a path going literally from one end of the chatzer through the other. I mean, some of the Mefarshim do understand it that way, but Rashi over here explains that's not exactly what it means. What it means is it's impossible to tell anymore where the mechitza was. So you have an argument between the balabas, or between the people who have the chatzer and the people who walk in Rishas Rabim. This particular area, was it part of where the mechitza was, or was it always part of Rishas Rabim? So therefore, Sir Rabbi Eliezer is talking about that area. So are you going to talk about that? It's talking about that, where you have an argument where they don't know where the wall was to begin with. Didn't Rav Chanina say that the machlokes is up to the place of the mechitzas? Meaning, in other words, that it sounds like we're saying the entire chatzer, the chachamim are saying is Carmelis, and Rav Eliezer is saying is Rishus Rabim. So, just the opposite. It sounds like the chachamim are agreeing with Rav Eliezer when it comes to the place where the mechitza was, that's fine. Since there's no mechitza there anymore, then therefore that particular area counts as an extension of Rishus Rabin. But, and they're only arguing about the whole rest of the chatzar. Whereas according to what you're saying, it sounds like even Rabbi Eliezer shouldn't say that the entire rest of the chatzar is a Rishus Rabin, only the area where the wall was. So the answer is Ema al Makam Mechitza Machlokas. You have to change Rav Chanina's expression a little bit. Not that the argument is up to the place of the wall, but on the place of the wall. Al instead of ad. So the Machlokas is up to the is regarding the place of the Mechitza exactly like we said. In other words, that the Bnei Rosh Hashanah say your Mechitza of your Chatzur used to be further in. And therefore, this area that you're claiming as part of your chatzar has actually always been part of Rishus Rabim. And therefore, we're going to continue walking in it, and it's considered Rishus Rabim. And the other people from the chatzar are arguing that, no, this is where our wall was, and therefore it still counts as part of our chatzar. So that's one way of explaining the machlokes then. So they're not, in fact, arguing about the rest of the chatzar. They're only, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, they're only arguing about the actual area where the wall was. Another possibility is you could say that we are talking about where we know for a fact where the walls were. So there's no argument about where the walls were. We're not talking, also Tosfos says, we're not talking about Avdol Ahem Derech, that there ever was a time when they claimed this area to be part of Rishus Rabim. But we're talking about that it's the area next to Rishus Rabim. Is that considered like Rishus Rabim? As we've learned before, you often have an area next to Rishus Rabim, which is not, it's not part of the main Rishus Rabim. It actually belongs to the people on the side. However, it's very common they don't actually build their walls all the way until Rishus Rabim. They often leave a little bit of space over there, like a sidewalk kind of. And therefore, what happens is people end up using that. So is that actually considered part of Rishus Rabim or not? So Rabbi Eliezer will hold that those areas are also considered Rishus Rabim, even though they're actually inside of the property line, because the person doesn't usually build over there. Therefore, it can be and people are able to walk there. Therefore, it is considered part of Rishus Rabim for all purposes of Hilchas Shabbos. And therefore, if you took something from Rishus Rabim and put it into that area, then you'd be chayev. The Chum hold but not. So in this particular case, so we are talking about over here a wall fell down. Again, because if the wall didn't fall down, for sure you can carry in the chatzar as long as you make an eruv, no question about that. But again, the case is the wall fell down. The area where the wall was is now, in effect, Sidur Rishus Rabim. It's now like an extension of Rishus Rabim. So now the question becomes, is that now part of Rishus Rabim for purposes of Hilchas Shabbos or not? Okay, so the question is, in that case, why is the Mishnah presenting the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim only in this odd case where the Mechitza of the Chatzar fell down? Why not present their argument more generally about Sidur Rishus Rabim, that Rabbi Eliezer would say it's Rishus Rabim and the Chachamim would say that's Kaimelis? The answer is, if we found them arguing about that in general and not about our specific case, have amrinan, then we would have thought like this. Ki pligi rabbanan alei de Rabbi Eliezer, you know when the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and say that these Tzidi Rishos Rabim are not like Rishos Rabim, hani mili hecha de'ika chifufi. Only when there are chifufi on the sides. We've learned before, now, like this, what you do is like this. You have your wall facing out towards Rishus Rabim, the wall of your house or your chatzar or whatever. You don't want that people should walk right next to the wall. In particular, you don't want wagons, for example, to be going right next to the wall because then they're going to bump into it and weaken it. So what do? So you put into the ground, between your wall and the main part of Rishus Rabim, enclosing this city of Rishus Rabim, you put in large pegs or large stones into the ground, like kind of like you have nowadays in front of some buildings. You have these bollards, you have these metal or stone or whatever pillars that they put into the ground in front of some places so that if a car goes out of control, it can't smash through them. So the chifufim that we're talking about over here are similar to that. So then we would say, in a regular case, you have chifufim. So then you would say that's why the Chachamim would say it's not real Rishus Rabbim, because you actually have something marking it off from the main Rishus Rabbim, that you have these chitzos from over there that you put over there in order to prevent people from getting too close to your wall. So that's so the area between the chitzofim and the actual wall would be tzidir rishas rabim, and that's what the chachamim say would be considered not kirishas rabim. Aval hecha deleka chitzofi, but where there are no chitzofi, like our case over here where a wall fell down and it's and there's nothing marking. I mean, okay, you know where the wall was, but nevertheless there's no actual physical things in the ground over there to mark off that this area. Be careful that you don't get closer to the wall. Ema modulei, so you would say maybe they agree with Rabbi Eliezer that should be considered part of Rishus Rabbim. Kamash Malon, that is why our Mishnah had to present their machloikas specifically about the case where the wall fell down and there's no chifufi, and even then the Chachamim disagree and say it's not Rishus Rabbim, it's Kaimelis. Okay. So the question is, okay, but the problem with all that is, so we're saying that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are arguing in the end only about the area where the wall was. In that case, then, why is Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah using the expression, why is he using the word toicha? If according to him, if we're saying so far, the whole machloikas is about the area where the wall was. That's not toicha. The answer is, the answer is, okay, the Chachamim are using the word mitoicha, because according to them, in fact, the whole chatzer, including the inside of it, is kaimelis. Rabbi Eliezer wants to stress that there's a certain part of it that he considers Rishus Rabbim, so he uses the expression mitoicha as well, even though according to him, it's inexact. It means just the area where the wall was. So then the question is, okay, well then we have to ask the other way around. Why are the Chachamim using the word mitoicha? If according to Rabbi Eliezer, the whole point over here is just the question of tzidir rishos rabim, why are the Chachamim, why b'chalal would the Chachamim be using the word mitoicha? Let Rabbi Eliezer say chotzer shenifatzo l'rishas rabim hamachnes mimokim hamechitza, or something to that effect, from the place where the mechitza was to rishas rabim, etc. And the Chachamim will answer him back that no, we hold that area as timeless. If they're not arguing about mitoicha at all, then why are the Chachamim even mentioning the word mitoicha? The answer is, it means like this. The Chachamim are saying as follows to Rabbi Eliezer. Wouldn't you agree with us that as far as the rest of the chotzer, it's not Rishus Rabbim, it's Kaimelis, and therefore if you carry something between Rishus Rabbim and it, then you're going to be potter. Tzidei nami loishna. Shouldn't the same thing be as far as the tzidei, the fourth side where the wall fell down? So that's why they're mentioning mitoicha, because they're using that as the basis of their argument that there should be no difference. The Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer would answer to that. There's a big difference. Because in that case, the Rabbim are not stepping into the Chatzar. Yes, it's completely open to Rishas and Rabbim, but people are not regularly going out of their way to go into the Chatzar. Hacha, Kodavsi Lo Rabbim. Over here, the actual area where the wall fell down, people are actually walking over it, and that's more reason to distinguish it from the rest of the Chatzar and call it Rishas and Rabbim. Tosfos actually points out when we say that the wall fell down, it has to be then, in order for the scenario that we're talking about over here, it has to be also that the ends of the walls that touch that wall also fell down, which I guess is a natural thing. Anyway, when a wall falls down, you usually don't just have that it falls neatly at the corner over there. So some of the other walls on the one side and the other also crumbled away, and therefore what you actually have is that the area where this mechitza was is not even within the original walls. Because if it was within the original walls, then even Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't necessarily call it Rishus Rabbim. But over here, it's actually outside any walls at this point, so therefore, yeah. You have Bechlal, by the way. There's a machloikas Rishonim, which we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, are three walls around an area enough to make it a Rosh Hashanah Yachid Daraisa, and only Midrabanan? Do we need a fourth one? Or is it that three by itself would be a Kamelus? So if we stay over here, that if we stay over here, that that so what are we saying over here? That once it has three walls, the Chachamim are saying that it's a Kamelus. That would be Daraisa or Darabanan, as the case may be. Okay. Mishnah says, Chotzer shenifritzo l'rishos rabim b'shtei ruchosel. Oh, so by the way, how does this relate to the whole thing of Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra that we said before? The answer is, we say Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra when we're saying that there's, when we're saying, we can say it, for example, when there's a machitza between the chatzeres, because the fact is, even now, the chatzeres are still surrounded completely by machitzas. All it is there was supposed to be a machitza between the two chatzeres, and they've made separate eruvin, and now that machitza fell down, and now we have to talk about it, do those separate eruvin still work, or would they have to join in one big eruv now? But at least you still have the mechitzas around there. There we can say Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra. As we said yesterday, we can say all you have in effect is that nitosfu diyurin. You have new people came and are living in this chotzer for Shabbos. But over here, when you have it's broken open, chudur shosarabim, then that's different. Then we don't say Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra because the actual mechitzas themselves that mark off the area are now down partially or completely. Could even be completely, as we said. Tosfos said that even if all of the walls of the chotzer fell down, it would never become a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it would only become a Karmelis, according to them. Okay. Mishnah says, Chotzer shenifritzo l'Rosh Hashanah Rabbim mishtei ruchosel. If a chotzer was broken open to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim from two sides, on Shabbos we're talking about. Now, on the face of it, when we say on two sides, it sounds like we're saying at one end and at the other end, so that all you have now left is two parallel walls. We'll see in the Gemara whether, in fact, that's what it means. Similarly, a house that was broken open at both ends, on two sides, again, we'll see whether it means both ends or whether it means two adjacent sides. Similarly, a mavoi where the koira or lechi was removed or fell down on Shabbos. Mutorim, but oisei Shabbos, fasurim, lasid labe, divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda will say it's still mutter for that Shabbos, because again, Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra, and he will apply that even over here where the mechitzas fell down, and now the area is not as enclosed as it was before. But it's also for future Shabbosim unless they fix it. Rabbi Yossi says no, that's not logical. Im mutarin la'osei Shabbos mutarin la'osid lave. If you're going to tell me they're mutter for that Shabbos, then they ought to be mutter on an ongoing basis, even on future Shabbosim. And the imasurim la'osid lave asurim la'osei Shabbos. If they're going to be also on future Shabbosim, they have to be also on this Shabbos as well. In other words, he doesn't hold of Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra. The Gemara is going to end up explaining that Rabbi Yossi is being machmer. He's saying you obviously can't be mater on future Shabbosim because there once was a mechitza over here, or there once was a lechi or koda over here. Therefore, on future Shabbosim, it has to be Osir. And on this Shabbos also, it has to be Osir because there's no such thing as Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra, according to him. In the previous Mishnah, we didn't specify whether it's on Shabbos. But Pashtos, I suppose it could be either way. If we say Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra, then okay. So Rabbi Eliezer might not hold of Shabbos kivin shahutra hutra, and also, it could be that, or it could be we're talking about it fell down before Shabbos. But here we're specifying. Here Rashi specifies that we're talking about it fell on Shabbos. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. What is the scenario that we're talking about? We were saying that the chotzer or the house was broken on both on two sides. Mishtei ruchosav. E lema be'eser. Are we talking about that the breach is up to and including 10 amos, which is still considered a pesach? Well then, maishna meruach achas. So what would be the problem if you had? So why are we saying the Mishnah then would not be mentioning on one side da'amrinan pischahu? Then we can say up to 10 amos can be considered a pesach, and therefore it doesn't ask for us to carry in that area. Then in that case, mishtei ruchas nami pischahu. Wouldn't you say this? Same thing if it's on both sides. Also, so what? It's still Pesach on each side. If we're talking about it's on the two ends, okay, so you have a Pesach on each end. What's the problem? You can still carry in there. Ela b'yosim e'eser. So are we talking about the breach is wider than 10 amos? Then wouldn't you have the same problem? Wouldn't you have the same problem even if it was only on one side? So why is the Mishnah Dafka mentioning on two sides? Now Tosfos points out that you could say that we have also the point that we've learned previously about Parutz Merubah LaOmed. That if you have a chotzer that you have more open area than closed area, then we said you need a pas dalid, you need a board four tefachim wide on that side, or you need a mashahu on both sides. So therefore, so we can answer very simply: if it was on one side, that would still work, but when it's on two sides, that wouldn't work. So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. One of them is that here the question is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is telling us it's mutter for that Shabbos, but why according to Rabbi Yehuda? What do we need that for? Rabbi Yehuda anyway holds that two mechitzes is enough for it to be mutter daraisa. As far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, it should be mutter for subsequent Shabbosim as well, not just for that Shabbos. Also, Tosfos says usually what do you have? A chotzer usually has only three full mechitzes. Then on the fourth side, it's mostly open, and it has a pas dalet or two mashahuyim. Now, if you have breaches on the two sides, on the opposite sides, we're assuming, of those three mechitzes, then you have a problem. Then you have a problem. So because now you don't even have your full three mechitzes. By the way, in the Mishnah we have the expression chotzer shenifritza l'shus harabim, and Rashi also says that it means l'shus harabim. However, Tosfos points out that we're actually not necessarily talking about over here. It's broken into l'shus harabim. Broken into l'shus harabim, that would be the machlokes in the previous Mishnah. Here we're talking about it's broken to another chotzer or to a mavoi. So now the question becomes, so it's not open to Rosh Hashanah. So now the question becomes, is it mutter for that Shabbos? But we could be talking about again that the Gemara is assuming that the breaches are on both opposite sides. But now the question is, so why do you need Dafka both sides for it to be also? It would be, if it was more than 10 amos, it would be also even if it was only on one side. The answer is Omer Rav L'Olam Be'eser. Rav says, in fact, the breaches of our Mishnah are 10 amos wide, so they should count as Pesach. But the case is, it's not, we're assuming that there were two walls, one opposite the other, that were breached open. No, what we're saying is the two walls are actually two walls adjacent to one another, at a corner. People do not make an opening in a keren zavis in a corner. Therefore, we can't say that it's considered a pesach. Therefore, we can't say it's considered a pesach. So that would be the case over here.
By the way, Rabbi, it's exactly word for word of yesterday's Perek Echel of Rambam. It's amazing.
Oh, really? Okay.
This last step you made. Yesterday's Perek Echel of Rambam. The statement you just made.
Okay. So that's why it doesn't count as a Pesach, even if it's narrower than 10 amos. Okay. So in other words, if this breach had only been on one side, there wouldn't be a problem because it's up to 10 amos wide and it counts as a Pesach. But now that it's in a corner, then it doesn't count as a Pesach at all. Therefore, you can't carry in that chotzer. Okay, then we said v'chein bayis shenifratz mishtei ruchosav. Now let's talk about a house. We said in the Mishnah if a house was broken in from both sides. So again, we have to ask Maishna Meruach Achas. Now, why would it be different if it was only on one side? The Mishnah is not mentioning that. Damrin and P Tikra Yerid Vesoisim. Now we say if it's only broken on one side, we can say P Tikra Yerid Vesoisim. The opening of it can come down and create a virtual wall over there. And Tosfos argues that that could mean even if it was more than 10 amos, even if it was the entire side. On the face of it, P-Tikra should work. Why don't we say the same thing on two sides? Yeah. Amri Dvei Rav Mishmei De Rav. So again, they answered in the yeshiva of Rav in the name of Rav. Kugunchen Nifrats Bekeren Zavis. The case is again where the breach is in a corner. V'kiruyei Ba'alachson. And you have, now why don't we say Pitikra? Because the roof is Ba'alachson. Now Rashi understands. One second. Rashi and Tosfos here understand Ba'alachson in two different ways. Rashi understands it that it means that the roof is a pitched roof. We've learned a number of times that Rashi holds that a pitched roof, we don't say Pitikra Yerod V'Sosim. An interesting reason why that would be, what's the logic that we shouldn't say Pitikra Yerod V'Sosim with a pitched roof? Rishonim say, because a flat roof, what do you have? The ends of the boards that make up the roof go straight up and down. Therefore, we can consider them as though we pull them down and we make a wall over there. As opposed to a pitched roof, the ends of them are on an angle. So you don't really have something that you can pull down to make a wall. Well, they're made out of straw, actually. So we had before, we had a Tosfos earlier that quoted Rashi as saying that they have to be at least, that it has to be at least a tefach thick. So that's another, but here we're talking about it's a pitched roof. Anyway, so Rashi explains, because if it had been a flat roof, then even in the corner, we could have said Pitikra Yerod V'Sosim, but because the roof is pitched, therefore we can't say that. Tosfos learns, as you can see the diagram in Tosfos, that no, what we mean is the roof at that corner also crumbled away, and now you have the roof itself, the line of the roof goes on an angle between the end of one wall and the end of the other. We don't say Pitikra Yerod V'Sosim on such a thing, because then again it's an opening to Keren Zavis, and people don't do that. You have, by the way, a machlokas rishonim within that. What would happen between the Razor and the Rashba and others? What would happen if the two walls on the corner crumbled away and you actually had the ceiling over them was still left intact? Suppose that the ceiling was still left intact. So then, would we say Pitikra Yerod V'Sosim or not? So in fact, the Ravid holds we would not. Because the fact is, you don't have walls over there. Rashi himself is only saying because the roof is pitched, right? So Rashi might hold, if the roof itself is flat and it's still intact over where those breaches were, then it might work. On the other hand, so according to the Ravid, even then it wouldn't work. On the other hand, there are Rishonim, I think the Rashba and others that talk about that maybe in that case it would work, and the problem is only when, like Tosfos says, the roof crumbles away and you only have the roof itself is in a corner there. It's on a diagonal there. Okay. So then, Delek Lamema, Pitikra Yerod V'Sosim. So you don't say Pitikra Yerod V'Sosim in that kind of scenario, says Rav. Shmuel says that no. The Mishnah is talking about that Shmuel is referring back to the Chotzer. Shmuel is referring back to the Chotzer, as we're going to see in a second. Shmuel holds that by the house it doesn't have to be that it's only on one side. So he says even if the breach is more than 10. The Mishnah has to be talking about where it's 10 or more than 10, and the reason why it's mentioning two sides is because only in that case would you have a problem. If you only had on one side, then in fact we could say Pitikra Yerod V'Sosim, or in the case of a Chotzer, that we would say the fact is you still have four Mechitzes over there. So the question is, Yehochim Yeruach Achas Nami. Okay, but you're saying that Afilu B'Yosim Eser, referring to the Chotzer, why Taka would it be also only if it was on two sides? Now he's not saying a corner like Rav says. He's talking about it's actually opposite sides. So according to him, wouldn't you have the same problem if it's only on one side and it's more than 10 amos? The reason is, you're right, Mishum Bais. The reason the Mishnah mentions that it's on two sides is in order to be parallel with the case of the house. A Chotzer, in other words, Shmuel would say, you're right, even if the breach was only on one side, then already the Chotzer would be also to carry in. But because the Mishnah is mentioning a Chotzer and a house, and with a house, as we're going to say in a second, you have to have the breaches are on two sides in order for it to be Osir, therefore mention two sides with a Chotzer as well, even though in fact the same din would apply to a Chotzer that was breached on one side as well. So the question is, Bais Gufei Tikri? Okay, well, then you have to ask the question on the house itself. Maishna Miruach Achas Damin Pitikul Yerud Vesosim. So what are we saying? If it's from one side, then we say that it's not also to carry in the house because Pitikul Yerud Vesosim. Mi Bais Ruchas Damin Name of Pitikul Yerud Vesosim. Shouldn't we say that just as well on two sides? So we're back to the question. According to Shmuel, why is the Mishnah Davka mentioning both sides? By the Chotzer, it's not even relevant because it's already also once it's breached on one side more than 10 amos. By the house, it should work. It should be mutter whether it's breached on one side or two sides. We should still say Pitikul Yerud Vesosim. So what's going on? So the answer is, and the Gemara says, true. And furthermore, before we even answer that question, me Israel the Shmuel Pitikul Yerud Vesosim, would Shmuel actually even hold that Pitikul Yerud Vesosim works in such a case when you have a breach wider than 10 amos, that by a house you would still say Pitikul would still work? Well, Itmar, we have a discussion about a case, Achsadra Babika. If you have an achsadra in a valley, we learned about this earlier in the perek. So you have, it's in a valley, in other words, it's open. Rashi learns over here and earlier that the achsadra is open on all four sides, and it's in a valley in the sense that there are no mechitzas anywhere nearby. Rav Amar Mutar L'Talta B'Kula. Rav says you're allowed to carry in the whole thing. Or Shmuel Amar Ein Metaltlin Ba'Elav Dalar Amos. Shmuel says you can only carry up to four amos in it because Rav says Pitikul Yerud Vesosim even on all four sides. And Shmuel says that no, we don't say Pitikul Yerud Vesosim on all four sides. So we see, in other words, that Shmuel does not, Shmuel does not hold that of Pitikul Yerud Vesosim in cases like that. So why all of a sudden would he be saying over here with a house? So with a house over here, it seems that he doesn't hold a Pitikul Yerud Vesosim at all. The answer is Holei Kasha Ki Lesle B'Dalad Av B'Sholish Isle. The answer is that's not a problem. Shmuel holds you can't say Pitikul Yerud Vesosim on all four sides. With this Achsadra, it's completely open on all four sides. You want to say Pitikul on all four sides? He's not going to say that. But B'Sholish. But if you only need to say it on three sides or fewer. In other words, it has at least one mechitza that's good, then he would say it's kosher. So fine, then in that case, so in the case of our Mishnah, so you have a house that's breached open on one side, so fine, Shmuel would say Pitikul Yerud Vesosim, so we're good. Now, Tosfos learns the scenario differently. Tosfos does not learn, among other things, Tosfos points out that an achsadra, usually in Shas, an achsadra does not mean that it's open on all four sides. It usually means just the opposite, that it's closed in on three sides and open partially on the fourth. So Tosfos understands the scenario with the achsadra here exactly the opposite. They understand that the achsadra is closed in on, okay, you don't have a picture of it over here, but they understand that the achsadra is closed in on three sides. It's closed in on three sides. It's open on the fourth. So it's completely open on the fourth. So Rav is going to say, that's fine. We can still say Pitikra on the completely open fourth side. Shmuel is going to say that only if that fourth side is a little bit closed in, then we can say Pitikra for the rest of it. But not where it's completely open. So the same thing over here with the house that we're talking about then. So if the house is breached only on one side, as long as it's not the whole side, then we can still say Pitikul Yerud Vesosim. If it's completely breached on that side, let alone on two sides, then already Shmuel would say we can't say that. We'll talk about that. I don't think it mentions in Achsadra there. I think it mentions in Yeruna, which is something else, but we'll see about that, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. So the Gemara says Mikol Makom Ka, so the understanding of Ki Lesle B'Dalad Al V'Sholosh Isle, it's actually the Girsa would be the other way around, that he doesn't hold of it when there are mechitzas on only three sides. He holds a Pitikra when there's a partial mechitza on the fourth side. So the exact opposite of the Girsa we have in the Gemara. The Girsa we have in front of us means that he wouldn't hold, you can apply Pitikra to four walls, but he holds you can apply it to three walls. The Girsa the other way around would mean he doesn't hold, you can apply it when there are three complete walls. He only holds you can apply it when you have the beginning of a fourth wall. Okay. So the Gemara says, Mikol Makam Kasha. Okay, but you're still left with a Kasha. Why don't we say P Tikkur Yerid V'Sleisim on two sides? And we can't be talking about where the roof over here is pitched, because then, of course, we wouldn't have P Tikkur even on the one side, or that it was a breach. So the answer is, we can answer the same answer that they used to answer Rav before about the chotzer that we're talking about. It was broke, or about the house that it was broken at a corner, and the roof is balachsen, pitched according to Rashi at an angle according to Tosfos. Hochmanami, the same thing. Shmuel will also answer. Here we have a different scenario. Now, according to Rav, it was enough to say that it was a diagonal breach, and that's good enough. That two walls and the corners fell down, and like Rashi says, that the roof is pitched, or like Tosfos says, that the remaining roof is at an angle, and that's good enough. And that's good enough to not apply P Tikra. Shmuel is not going to accept that. Shmuel is going to have to say the kiruye ba'arba. The case is that part of the kirui, part of the wall, fell down at a distance of four tfachim from the remaining walls. So the scenario is going to be as follows. The picture is going to be as follows. Let's say, for example, the north wall and the east wall fell down. So now you have a Pesach B'Keren Zavis. Now, in addition, what you have is the ceiling for a distance of four tfachim from each of those walls also fell in. So you have a strip along each side that fell in, and then what you have is the remaining. Yeah, so Rashi himself gives a diagram. You can see the diagram in Rashi shows like a bird's eye view of it. You have a 3D view. You have a 3D view. I'll show quickly over here. So you have, therefore, so the one wall together with four tfachim of ceiling next to it fell down, and the same thing the other wall, and the remain, what you have left is five amos in each direction for a total of 10 amos. Now, actually, Tosfos points out that really in that case you only have seven amos because you have a diagonal. A diagonal of 5 by 5 is really only 7 amos. So Tosfos says Rashi is not medayik, meaning, in other words, according to Rashi, we would have to understand that we're actually talking about the breaches are wider than 5 amos, let's say. We would have to maybe say that there's 7 amos and 7 amos, let's say, in order to have a diagonal of 10. Whatever the point is, now you have a Pesach wider than 10 amos. You have that. So now, if we want to say Pitzikur Yerid V'Sosim, you would have to say it on four different areas, because you would have to say it on the four tfachim in from the one wall and from the other wall, as well as along the 5 amos on the one wall and on the remainder of the ceiling on one side and on the other. And that's too much to say already Pitzikur Yerid V'Sosim with all of that. We already said before that Shmuel doesn't hold a Pitzikur Yerid V'Sosim when you have to do it four different times. So that... four different times, because you have 1, 2, 3, 4, the four parts of the steps over here. You have in the picture over here in Rashi, the area over here in Rashi labeled Dalad, Hey, Hevaoid, and Dalad. So you'd have to apply Pitikah Yod Vesosim to each one of them, and Shmuel says you can't do that. So that's why Shmuel would say that's the scenario when we're saying that it's also to carry in this house. But in fact, if the breaches were on opposite walls of the house, we could very well see Pitikah Yod Vesosim on both sides. And if it was a case where we can't say Pitikra, then it would apply just as well on one side. okay. By the way, this that Tosfos is saying that Rashi wasn't Medayik, we have talked about in the Masechta before a possibility that's brought up, that maybe even now we've had a number of times in our Masechta where Rashi treats a diagonal as though it's the equal to the sums of the two sides, which of course is not mathematically correct. But we had, for example, a case on Daf Ayin Ches, for example, involving a ladder where the feet of the ladder were 4 tfachim away from the wall, and the wall itself is 10 tfachim tall, and Rashi used the expression of that the ladder has to be 14 tfachim tall. Now, mathematically, that doesn't work. But mathematically, the diagonal of 4 by 10 is only about 11 and something. So one possibility is that maybe in certain cases, Rashi holds, even though, of course, mathematically, the diagonal is smaller than two sides, la halacha, we have to act as though it wasn't. La halacha, we have to act as though the diagonal is the sum of the two sides, la chumra. Right. So if you're counting the steps. So in this case, in other words, Rashi might say the fact that you have five amas and five amas over here, or actually five amas of oid in order to have it slightly more than 10 amas, whatever, even though, like Tosfos says, mathematically, the diagonal of it would be a lot less, but as a matter of halacha, we would still treat it as an opening 10 amas wide, l'chumra, or more than 10 amas wide, l'chumra. Yeah, but again, remember, when you say on the step, remember, we're talking about this is a bird's eye view. This is looking down on the house after the wall crumbled away. Right. Right. That's the point. So one step is five, and one step is five void. Right. So that's the thing. Tosfos is pointing out, if you were to draw a line from the edge of the remaining wall to the edge... Yeah. So Tosfos points out the diagonal from the corner of the one, from the corner of the wall where it's remaining to the one. So that's the thing. Tosfos says it's only seven mathematically, but Rashi is calling it 10 because it's 5 plus 5, right?
But if I say go from here to here,
okay.
Ten,
yeah, yeah.
You're going to go 10.
Yeah, okay, right. Okay.
You can't cut a rock.
Yeah, okay, fine. But here you... Okay, so again, so Rashi might be saying that even though physically there is an alachsin here and we could have measured the doorway along that, we don't do that. Instead, we measure it along the edges of the walls. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Shmuel loy omer karav. Now we have to ask. So we have two different understandings of the case over here in our Mishnah involving the house. We have Rav saying, talking about that it was broken bekeren zavis v'kiruyeh ba'alachson, and we have Shmuel saying it was broken bekeren zavis, and the roof is broken in the stepwise way that we said it. So why do they disagree? Shmuel loy omer karav. Shmuel can't agree with Rav because alachson like katani. Because after all, it didn't say anything about alachson. If the point is that you can't say pitikra because the roof is pitched, or because the remaining roof over there that's left after the walls crumbled away is on a diagonal, then it should have said that, because then the ikur chosim and a sefer, then an essential point is missing. The Rav loy amak Shmuel. Conversely, Rav can't say like Shmuel. Imkain have you like Sadra? Because after all, if you have the case that Shmuel is talking about, where it crumbled away, it like steps like that, and therefore you have four different places where you need to do pitikra, no problem. That would be like an achsadra. But Rav l'taimei d'amar achsadra mutal l'talta b'kula. We just said that Rav holds that even an achsadra you're allowed to carry in the whole thing. That the itmar achsadra b'ikar Rav amar mutal l'talta b'kula or Shmuel amein metaltan b'ala ba'abamas. Because Rav Amar Mutal L'Talta B'Kula Amrinan Pitikur Yod V'Soisim. Because Rav holds that we say Pitikur Yod V'Soisim according to Rashi on all four sides, according to Tosfos on the fourth open side. Shmuel Omer in the Talmud, Bala Bab Amos. Shmuel says you can only carry four Amos in it because you can't apply Pitikur Yod V'Soisim on all four sides, or according to Tosfos on one whole side. We go like in general in these kinds of things we go like Rav.
There was an exception earlier.
Earlier we had at the beginning of Amunah, we had it on Amud Aleph. We said that we had where Rav and Shmuel argue about Shabbos Kibin Shehutra Hutra, and we said even Rav didn't explicitly say so. Yeah, but in general. Rav Amar Mutal L'Talta B'Kula Amrinan Pitikur Yod V'Soisim, because again, Rav says you can apply Pitikur Yod V'Soisim on all the sides, or on one whole side. Shmuel Amar Ein Metaltan B'Ala Ba'amamas Lo Amrinan Pitikur Yod V'Soisim. Whereas Shmuel says that not, you can't apply it on all four sides or in all four places, like Rashi is saying over here. You need that the side where you're going to apply it is itself not completely open. According to Rashi, you need that you can only apply it on three sides, and according to Tosfos, you can't apply it on one complete open side. So according to him, there's no way of understanding that. So according to him, it wouldn't work to say that we're talking about that. So again, Rav can't agree with Shmuel because according to him, you would actually be able to do Pitikur Yod V'Soisim over here. Therefore, Rav is forced to say that we're talking about Baal Lachsan, even though the Mishnah didn't mention the point about Alachsan. So we'll continue this tomorrow, Baal Hashem.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
Shalom, everyone.